yeah, we have God's presence around us, but when we get to heaven, maybe that's not even a question that we'll ask. Right. Maybe things will just, you know?
Yeah, so, we feel like we're going to get to heaven. Man, yeah. I have a bunch of questions for God when I get to heaven, and there are probably all these why questions.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be in his presence, and we're going to be like, we won't even, they won't even matter anymore. This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in his perspective, his presence, his pace. Why should we stop trying to figure out why when it comes to suffering? Why does that usually backfire on us? And is there a better approach? This is episode 21 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. And I want to talk today, I want to talk a little bit about why we should stop trying to figure out why. When suffering, troubles, pain comes our way. We've just spent the last couple of weeks on this podcast diving deeper into the book of Job. And today we finish up. But I want to take our conversation further into why it's almost never helpful to ask the question why. We've kind of addressed that a little bit, but I really want to go deeper into that, have a conversation dialogue about that why, and then I want to offer a better approach. So welcome to our listeners and viewers. And if you're viewing, you realize that this is a treat today. Not only is Ryan our production wizard, or he likes to be known as the production hobbit.
Yes.
Ryan is here, our standard part of the conversation here. You have someone with you as well. Why don't you tell us who's right next to you there?
Yeah, I have my lovely bride with me today.
Oh, so. Hello. Hello.
So Amanda is here.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. So welcome, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that sounded a little bit like unsure, but...
No, I'm excited. This is my favorite podcast.
We're excited to have you here.
Yes.
It's going to be great. You listen...
Absolutely.
You're a faithful listener.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, when we first started this a year and a half ago, you know, I think, Amanda, you were our only listener.
Yeah. It's Cindy, too.
Yeah, yes.
My wife,
the
Cindy,
wives.
Your wife, Ryan, was listening, and you were always so encouraging that this was maybe something that we should do.
Oh, yeah. You're so full of wisdom. That's why I don't know. That's why I said thank you, because I don't know how much I can't add, but I would love to sit next to you and listen. How about that?
Let's do
that.
We want you to add.
Yeah.
We definitely are looking forward to your contributions today. And Ryan, we'll get to, you know, we're going to learn why you're so awesome.
Right.
Oh.
It's because of you married up.
Only because of that. And I say that to her all the time. You know, I'm like, I'm like, you're the best part of this whole thing. You know, like, I'm just here for the ride, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww, that's nice.
Love
that's...
it. Well, we're kind of tight here because
this is
the first time we've ever had three on the podcast. So we're sitting close. Ryan, our knees are knocking, but it's fine. We're cozy here. This is Tuesday. We're recording this on a Tuesday and in the morning, and usually, you know, we're kind of first time we've seen each other when we're recording this. It's often on a Monday, so it's the first time we've seen each other since Sunday, the three of us. But Ryan, you and I already saw each other. We already bumped.
We did.
We were at the same coffee shop this morning.
Yes. Well, it was kind of funny because I was booting in, I was booting in Brinley. And, you know, the other kids, they can kind of get in out of the car, like, by themselves, you know, like, they're kind of, you know, self-sufficient that way. But so I'm putting the baby in, and all of a sudden, like, I can feel, like, this car kind of creeping in, like, a little close. And I was just like, wait a minute here. I was like, listen, I know we all want our coffee, but I'm like, come on, man.
Give me some space.
Give me some space. And I turn up, and I go, oh, it's the bus. It's Doug.
This morning? That happened
right
this morning?
Now, yeah,
oh,
right
nice.
Now, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, sorry to break it to you, but now your kids want a VW bus.
Oh, no. Added to the list of vehicles they would like to have.
Yeah.
Of course they want, they probably want your bus. Like,
they loved it.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not bragging. I'm just saying they loved
it. Did you let them go inside the
bus? Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course you did. Okay.
Yeah.
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 Did you tell them you take it to the beach, too?
I didn't tell them that. I just put the table up so that I said they could like draw or play games or eat while they're driving at the table inside. And that was, that was the selling point right there.
Wow. Remy was already like daydreaming about where to put his Hot Wheels and like what games they were going to play on the table and all that stuff. So
So for those who don't know, I have a vintage VW bus, 1973. And now Ryan and Amanda's kids love it. And want to have it.
Did you tell him the name of the bus, too?
I did not. It's named Sunkissed, so that's a good little trivia question, Sunkissed. That's just for the listeners. They get to know the name of the bus, Sunkissed the bus.
So if you see an orange VW bus around the church, right, it's you.
It's
me. What should people do? Wave, honk?
Sometimes they honk.
How do we tell you that word?
I would say 90% of the people honk and try and get past me because they're going, this guy goes too slow. And then a few people appreciate the classic.
Yeah. Right.
And they'll throw up a peace sign or something like that, you know, as they drive by. And so, or they say, nice bus, nice van.
Right.
So, that's usually what happens. But Rem, your son was so cute. He said, because Ryan asked him, would you like to have something like this? He goes, of course I would.
Yes, that sounds like him.
Of course I would.
Yeah, that's Remy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now our car is going to be too small for the next foreseeable future.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to hear about how we need a big bus. But no, I'm glad he got to go in it. That's so fun.
Well, that was the first thing he said when we got back in the car. He's like, you can fit all of our hockey gear, Dad. I'm just like, okay, dude. Like, he's got a plan. He always has a plan. Like,
he does always have a plan. Yeah.
So he's like, I looked at the back. He's like, Pastor Doug showed me. He's like, there's enough room for the hockey gear. I was like, okay. Because that's what I always say. I'm like, is there enough room for all of our stuff? Because it's like,
there's plenty.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Unhurry is like sitting down having a cup of coffee together after the sermon on Sunday. That's what the kind of the angle that we have on this. And we've been giving away these coffee cups. I see, Amanda, you have yours.
I do have mine.
The merch mugs that say Unhurried on them. Guess what? We gave away our last one this morning. You heard about that,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. Well, I ran into who we gave it away to on the way in. So, yeah, she told me she got the last one.
She got the last one. Yeah. So these are now collector items.
Yes. It's
no longer, you know, available. Sorry if you're just finding out about this. They are already gone.
Yeah.
But she was so funny because she didn't want to say, give me my mug.
Right.
And I came really close to making her say it, but she is the sweetest woman in the church. And I felt like I just, you know, I couldn't bring myself to do it.
You just couldn't do it.
Agreed that would be hard.
Right. It would be. Yeah. Even on Sunday, I was like, you know, you're like, you know, God's best to you. And I'm like, you know, bring, hit the last chord. And somebody was like, hey, where's my mug? I'm like, give me a minute, please. Let me unplug my guitar. You know?
I love it. Give me my mug. I love it.
He's a friend too, so it's all good.
That's so funny. Well, they're gone. But here's the surprising news is that as soon as we run out of the mugs, someone in our church, without even telling us, just did it on their own, made these hats.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing one. If you're watching.
There's one right here.
There's one in the front right here. He made like about 10 or a dozen of these hats, and they're kind of
different colors too.
They're different colors. They say Unhurried with Doug Kyle. And then what does it say underneath it?
A local podcast.
A local podcast broadcast.
Yeah. A local podcast broadcast.
Which I'm not, I like that sounds it. It's cool. I don't know what exactly it means.
But we have listeners all over.
Yeah, so.
We, like I'm on it.
Yeah, we. Now you're a part of it.
Thanks,
we.
You guys.
Yes, Amanda, we do. We do. Yeah, so that's great. So, but I don't know how I haven't decided yet. We have to figure out how to
these
get
are
these.
Exclusive, more exclusive than the
There's
mugs.
Only 10 of them. And so we can't just. You can't just say give me my hat.
Right, yeah. Right. We got to come up with something.
Yeah. It's going to have to be a little bit elevate the, the challenge of how people get it.
Right.
Fashion show.
Yeah.
No.
So stay tuned. We might go with Amanda's fashion show. I don't even know what that means, but we might go with
they
that.
They have to model the hats, and then we decide whether or not they can wear it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be rough. Sorry. You just can't pull it off. You're not going to have the hat.
Those are cool hats. I like that they all are like a little bit different. They all say the same thing, but a corduroy.
Yeah, there's corduroy you know, kind of, there's trucker hats. There's more kind of old school hats. It's there's brown, there's blue, there's black. It's really cool.
Yeah,
it's got gray.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you guys something that I don't think you know, but it just blew me away from Sunday morning, and let our listeners know as well. So we've been going through Job, and not this most recent message, but the one before. I wanted to talk about how we get bad advice from good friends, and so that was the setup. And I thought, how am I going to set this up? And I thought I'd just do it in kind of lighthearted way. I'm not that lighthearted, but I didn't want to make it too tragic. So I just said, imagine you broke your leg. I just came up with a random story.
Sure.
Imagine you broke your leg and you were couldn't go to work for 6 weeks, and you have three friends giving you three examples of bad advice. You remember the story?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that was a week and a half ago. This past Sunday, before service started, I had this guy come up to me and he said, "You won't believe it. I brought my friend last week. It was his first time at church. He was kind of not into coming, wasn't sure about it. He showed up and he had just broken his leg, was out of work, had to be away from work for 6 weeks." Exactly.
That's what your example was. Yes.
And had three friends give him the same bad advice.
Wow.
And he was just, he was sitting there with his eyes wide open thinking, what happens at church? They come and just, tell you about your life. It was just, it was just humbling for me because it was such a, arbitrary example.
Right.
It wasn't like I felt like, it was that special. It just seemed like it kind of fit, but God knew and God set
Absolutely.
It up, and he just felt so welcome and like he was supposed to be there.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So that's amazing to me, but I feel like that's been happening with the book of Job in general for all of us, is that it's such a poignant and relatable story. I mean, hopefully most of us will never have to go through the things that Job went through, and the reality is that most people don't. It's a very unique case, but the principles from Job are transferable for so many of our lives and have connected with believers, throughout the ages. Mm-hmm. And I hope that's happening for our listeners too, that they're finding a connection with the story of Job as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like the timing of it has been very specific for Ryan and I and stuff that we've been going through. You haven't shared it on the podcast, but I mean, we could if we want to go down that direction.
Go for
it. We've had a little bit of a month, definitely not what Job's gone through. So I think that's interesting when you can kind of look at things and go that people are going through different things, but you can find pieces of it that you can relate to. So we were expecting a baby in September. And then we found out at 18 weeks that she didn't have a heartbeat. So that was a couple weeks ago. Hasn't even been a month. So then I had to induce and deliver her. And that's been our little story. So then the timing of the 3 weeks of Job has been so... It's been... Yeah, I can't describe it. Some of my notes and stuff that I've written down that you've said have stuck with me. Not that they don't any other week, but just very, especially, it's like each week there's been something that's really stuck with us. And I know this past weekend you talked about the why, and that we don't know why. And for us specifically in this situation, we don't know why.
Yeah.
We did all the tests and stuff and we were not given any answers here. And I know we'll go into some other stuff, but yeah, so Job has been very much like the timing of it has been so specific for us and the bad advice from friends. We've had some really wonderful conversations with some amazing people, and just every just a couple of them have been like, "Oh, that's interesting," but we've taken it with a like, "Oh, that's," but No, we've valued any conversation that we've had regarding it and people providing their comfort or words of wisdom, and sometimes just nothing, just, you know.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah, we talked about that, sitting. I think, like last week, right?
Just sitting, yeah. Just being there, being there.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you guys have been going through that, and obviously we've been aching with you through the whole process.
Right.
But thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That was brave to do so, and I know it's going to connect with a lot of our listeners, because that's life. Life brings those really deep hardships to us.
Yeah,
and it's very difficult to answer the question why, and sometimes we can't answer the question why.
Right. Yeah.
Matter of fact, what I really want to talk about is why we would be better served if we just stopped trying to figure out why. Mm-hmm. Let's just, remove that from the way we think about it. Let's go into that a little bit. Sometimes when we use the word why did this happen, what we really mean is how did this happen? Mm-hmm. So I want to take that off the plate. Like we say, why did I get sick? And the answer is, well, because my kid came home from preschool and everybody in preschool is sick and they got sick and now I'm sick. Well, that's not really why, that's how. That's how I got sick.
Right.
But we use the word why. Why did I get sick? And we're trying to figure out how. Or, why am I so jittery? Well, because you had too much caffeine this morning, right? That's really, when we use why that way, we're really asking how. How did this happen? Mm-hmm. How did, and that's a legitimate question, mm-hmm. For us to ask how did this happen? That's fine. You're just being curious. We're trying to figure it out. But I'm talking about when we're asking the question why about suffering, and we're really asking the question, what is the purpose for this suffering? What is the purpose behind it? Specifically, what is God's purpose behind it? And we see this with Job. That was Job's heart-wrenching question when he said in Job 30, he said, I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly. With the might of your hand, you attack me. Job really throughout it all is asking the question, God, why are you doing this? And he's trying to connect the dots for why he had to go through such suffering and why God allowed it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's is human. It's natural. It's what we all do. We're trying to figure out why did this happen, especially even as you're sharing your story, even when we have these really devastating experiences in our life that crush us, we go beyond the question of how did this happen to why mm-hmm. did this happen? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose?
Mm-hmm. Right.
His friends' cruel answer was because you committed some terrible sin.
Right.
They weren't asking the question. They were trying to answer the question.
Yeah.
They were saying, this is why it happened. And over and over again, they're just saying, this is why. And we do that all the time too, right? We do that. We anytime suffering becomes costly to us or it hits us in a deeper way, we go from just asking the question how to why. Why did this happen?
I think the human nature too of the question of why is also people responding. Like you're human, like you talked about with the responses. We have like a desire to answer that question for them or like help them let me help you understand. I understand why you're asking why, and maybe I can provide something, not personally or like give you some, perspective. So that's like the heart of that, right? Is like to try to solve the same question.
It's human nature to do that. And often, we talked about this being bad advice from good friends. It's really good motives that we do it. We do it out of good intention. We're trying to help them.
Right.
Like we somehow feel like if we could explain the why behind it, that's going to somehow be satisfying to them. But in reality, it's not satisfying because it only leads to way more questions. Why me and not them?
Right.
Mm. Why, if this is why it happened, well, then there's other people that have life or much, worse off than me, much meaner than me, and yet it didn't happen to them. So why am I singled out to learn this lesson?
Right.
If that's what we're trying to tell them.
It leads to more frustration.
It does.
Know? Yeah.
It does.
Well, and it takes our focus away from being on God and what he's done for us, because now you're asking questions of, you make it more personal and you internalize it instead of coming to God with your questions and saying, you know, if he's, you know, like we talked about a few weeks ago, it's like if he did it before, he can do it again. You know what I mean? So it's like it takes our focus away from what it should be on.
Yeah. Or even if it's on God, it's on God in the wrong way.
Yes.
Instead
yes.
of being on God in the trusting,
right.
faithful, his character, it really starts to question his character.
Yes.
Maybe God is this cruel God who sends punishing arbitrarily or, you know, randomly to people, or just because he thinks that's, you know, that's how he's teaching his kids a lesson by making life, you know, horrible for
right.
them.
Right.
And the overwhelming message of the book of Job we've been coming away with is we've been talking about this a couple weeks now on the podcast, and here, this is the third and final time we're gonna address Job, is this idea that it is fruitless to ask the question why. It really is not beneficial. When in Job 38:2, God, the very first thing he basically says, when he finally speaks after 37 chapters of silence, when he finally speaks, he says to Job, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge?" And what are those words without knowledge? Well, it's all of their discussions and conversations about why.
Yeah.
Why this was happening. And so in the message I talked about, that the one of the first things God wants to say to us in suffering is to learn to be comfortable with the phrase, "I don't know." Mm-hmm. So many of our explanations that we give for why things happen are just words without knowledge.
Yeah.
They're us doing our best, but we don't know.
Right.
We don't have the, and so we're better off to just simply say, we don't know why this is happening. We don't know why. I think that's more, even though it still leaves that big question mark, I think it's more satisfying to the person going through trouble to say, we don't know, rather than put some Band-Aid on it, some quick cliche that isn't really satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, I remember like when we were trying to look for, you know, answers from, you know, our miscarriage and stuff, you know, and it's like, sometimes you just don't know, you know, like the doctors were kind of telling us like, yeah, we can do tests and stuff, but we just don't know, you know? And so sometimes you just have to be okay with, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like you just have to be okay with that.
You know? And exactly. We think we've got all the, you know, in
right.
our scientific day, you know, we and medical
right.
technology,
sure.
we
yeah.
can figure everything out, and you're still reminded that there's so much that we don't know.
So
yeah.
much.
That's
so much.
When you were talking about different places on Earth that people don't see, right? You're driving,
right.
you're
yes.
driving
yeah.
through, and that's
yeah.
uninhabited
and,
areas. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
God is in those places, and he's created these amazing things that people don't get to see every day. Right. But they're still there because the bigger picture is that, we don't know what the bigger picture is, right? It's God's bigger picture. And that's where the, that made me think of our situation of, we knew going in that, well, we know now, right, that we could do whatever to figure whatever out. And, we may not have the answers. And so I don't even know if we really wrestled with it. We kind of just sat and like, okay, there's, we won't know this side of heaven, but maybe that'll, but even so, that then brought me to another point that you said in your message, about how God's presence, like that was the answer. I know you'll get to that too, but, being in God's presence, like he didn't have any more questions, right? Like it just, his presence was, I think I wrote down what you specifically said, but I feel like we have God's presence around us, but when we get to heaven, maybe that's not even a question that we'll ask.
Right.
Maybe things will just, you know?
Yeah,
so.
We feel like we're going to get to, man,
yeah.
I have a bunch of questions
yes.
for God when I get
yeah.
to heaven. And
yeah.
there are probably all these why questions.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be in his presence and
yes.
we're going to be like, they won't even matter anymore.
Right.
No.
That's
no.
an amazing you know? Feeling.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we can experience a little bit of that here on earth mm-hmm. when we realize that his presence can be enough
mm-hmm.
even in the trials of
right.
life.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I burnt my hand leaning on a hot engine on my uncle's John Deere mower. It was a summer vacation. We were in Wisconsin and I was like a 12-year-old kid and I'm like, I get to drive this, you know, mower on his, he had this huge lot and the grass, but then I burnt my hand, you know. Well, if I ask, you know, why did that happen? It's because I put my hand
yes.
on the engine. That's the
right.
how. That's the how. I know exactly how it happened. I leaned against it. But when all of a sudden it starts to, you know, get costly, when suddenly I can't, you know, go swimming in the lake, when suddenly, you know, it kind of puts a damper on my summer, my 12-year-old summer, then you ask the question, why? You know, why did this happen? And so I think that's what we do. We can easily answer the how question, and that's fine. But the why question is when it gets costly, and we want to ask that question. And it is either a direct or an indirect challenge to God. It's either like, sometimes it's direct, like, God, why did you allow me to do this? Or sometimes we're just, maybe we're not a believer and we're just asking, why did the universe allow this? You know, why is life like this? Why that this happens? It doesn't seem fair. No matter what, either directly or indirectly, it's a challenge to God in the end, because something deep in us wants to explain it. Now, I want to be fair and say that some suffering is directly meant to teach us something. God does discipline those he loves. The Bible is very clear on that. I love this verse in Deuteronomy 8. Moses explains why they went through their time of scarcity in the desert. And he says, God humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So I'm not saying that God doesn't have purposes for us sometimes in suffering. He clearly does. That's how God operates. I'm just saying that unless we have the revealed word of God telling us what it is, there are going to be words without knowledge when we try and figure it out. So I want to be clear that God does sometimes use troubles in our lives for specific purposes, but really all we're doing is guessing because we don't have the Bible telling us this is what God is doing in our life. And when we get to the prescription here, or when I get to like what a better approach is, you'll see why I think there's a different way to come at it that's just much healthier. Because it's also true that so much of the pain and suffering we go through is just a result of living in a sinful and broken world.
Right.
And it isn't meant to be a direct lesson to us. You remember when Jesus came up to the blind man in John chapter 9, and the crowd said, well, who sinned?
Right.
We talked about this.
We talked about that. It's got to be somebody.
Him or his parents. Right. What were they saying? They were saying basically that's why he's blind. Suffering only comes because of sin, and it's, you know, but since he was born that way, was it him or was his parents? They assumed that it was because of sin. They just didn't know whose sin it was.
Right.
And Jesus' answer was amazing. He said neither. He said neither one. And so all that to say, so much of the suffering and pain in our world isn't the result of something that God's trying to teach us, either punish us for or teach us about or change us or guide us or develop us, is because we live in a broken world where disease and other things just go wrong. And it's just part of the our longing for heaven, a world that will be perfect in a world that isn't.
Right.
So I got a better approach. Yeah, I think this leads to a better approach. What I think is much better is for us to focus on how is God using it? Mm. How is God using it in my life? That gets at some of the same things that we're asking, but we're not saying this is why it happened. Mm-hmm. Instead, what we're saying is it happened. I don't know why it happened, but I know that God never wastes pain. Mm. I know that there is no suffering in our life that God still isn't actively involved in, aware of, and at work to redeem it and restore it. So asking the question, how is God, or focusing on how God is using it, is much better than saying why. Here's what I mean. So something horrible happens in someone's life, and you come, well, this has happened because God wants, oh, let's go back to the broken leg. The guy breaks his leg. This is happening because God wants to slow you down. Well, we don't know that. You know, that's a guess.
Right.
That's a guess.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I used to work at a church, and anytime something would technically go wrong, you know, they'd be like, oh, it's because God wants us to do this, or it's because, and I'd be like, Well, couldn't we just buy a new cable?
No, it was batteries. One of them was batteries.
Where I was like, I think
we just need to change
there's
batteries.
A less. I'm sorry.
Or is this a satanic attack? Yes, you know, no. I think we just need new batteries.
No, I think we just need to buy better cables and need new batteries.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was just like, no, guys, come on. You know, like you were saying, there can be the extremes of. Of both of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I don't think God wants to slow you down if he breaks your leg. You
exactly.
know?
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. We just don't know.
No,
right.
We don't know.
So when you come in and you just pronounce that this happened because you're supposed to learn this. Well, that's words without knowledge.
Right. Right.
Now,
right.
if we ask, and I'm going to recommend waiting a little bit before you ask this question. But as time goes on and you ask the question, you know, what is God teaching you or how is he using this?
Right.
Or you, even you as the individual who's going through it and you start to ask the question, how is God using this?
Right. Right.
And it might be, you know, I realized I needed to slow down a little bit.
Sure.
I was going too quickly. Well, that's different.
That's different.
Right.
Because
right.
God always redeems our pain. He's always involved in it. He always is, he doesn't waste it.
Right.
But he didn't cause it.
Right.
That's the
right.
difference.
Right.
You know,
right.
we know that this was Satan in Job's story, not
totally.
God. God allowed it.
Right.
But it was the source was Satan, not God. So to say this is what God's doing was wrong.
Right.
But God's using it.
Right.
You know, and there could be hundreds of ways in which lessons that you can learn. And that's focusing on how God redeems it rather than why he did it.
Right.
And to me, it's a much more reverent view of God.
Yeah.
It's not blaming him for the suffering. It's like trusting him for the redemption.
Right. Well, even with our, you know, situation that we've been going through too, it's like we've had a lot of great conversations with people in our church that have shared, you know, their stories and their suffering in that too, where I didn't, you know, had no idea that these things had gone on in their life and might not have ever had those opportunities to have those conversations with them, you know, and now that we've gone through this, you know, they've shared their stories with us too. And so you're like, oh, well, maybe this is why.
That's one of the ways. That's one of the how God is using it.
Yes.
That's how God is using it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And that's the way I like to phrase it, because if someone came up to you and said, "Well, this happened in your life so that you can be a comfort," you're going, "Well, I don't
no,
want,
thank you.
I don't want to sign up for that kind of comfort. No thanks. I don't. That's not worth it to me."
Right, right.
Yeah.
But when you say, "How is God using it?" You say, "Well, it turns out God is giving us this conversation, this connection, this empathy for others who have gone through it." And that to me is much more appealing view of God than to say, well, this is why it
this
happened.
This is why it,
I mean, I give personal examples from our lives, my family's lives, you know, over the years many times, but I never want to give the impression that this happened so I can have a really good sermon illustration.
Oh, right.
I go, that's not worth it to me to have a good sermon illustration.
Well, I remember when I think we even talked about it too on the podcast, where you were saying that you were trying to even stay away from the book of Job because you didn't like not necessarily want something, or you just didn't want an example to have to now relate.
I don't want to do this. Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to have to learn what I'm preaching on.
Right,
lesson. Yeah. And I realize, again, that's not a healthy view of God.
Right, right.
As if
right.
God sends these things our way in order to teach us or use us in others' life.
Right.
Now, does he use it? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm just thinking that little twist of not why it happened, but how God is using it is just revolutionary.
So good. So good.
Just a different way. And we know that's true. So he's not only using it for us, but as you mentioned, he's using it in the lives of other people. So 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Mm-hmm. So he not only uses it for our benefit, but he also uses it in the benefit of other people's lives. So God is always using our suffering. He doesn't waste it. But that's not why it happens, so that we can do that. To me, that's a really important distinction to help people, our listeners, you know, make that difference. And it's so much better to look at it that way, especially if the event is tragic, or imagine you're the victim of a violent crime or something, to come in and say, "Well, God did this to teach you something." That's just cruel.
Yeah.
That's just cruel. What about the others who need that lesson and didn't experience right. that, you know, right. but how God is using it, that becomes a more redemptive question. And again, only after time. I don't think that's the first thing you say when you show up to comfort someone.
No.
Yeah. Oh, God's, you know, how's God using this? I don't know. And I don't want to, you know what I mean? This is just horrible.
I'm going through it right now.
I'm going through it. So Job's friends were wise when they sat with him for a week, didn't say anything.
Right.
And so we need to have wisdom to know what's the appropriate amount of time to be able to then come in with that question, how is God using it? Or even for us to be ready to deal with that question, right. how is God using it?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I've shared over the years just my own experience growing up with a family of when my parents got divorced. Do I wish that on other people? Absolutely not. Has God used it in my life? Absolutely. I don't think that's why it happened, but I do think that's how God's using it and has used it. And I can just think of countless ways. Be a good maybe podcast for another time, just of how even God uses those kinds of, you know, growing up in the product of divorce in a divorce environment, how God uses that in our lives.
For sure. So. For sure. Well, I know that's so impactful, you know, of your story and things of how it's like even, you know, reached to me and the kind of art, you know, my story and stuff like that too. So it's like, I know that's very, you know, years later you can see how you know, God was using you in that and using you to encourage, you know, others that have gone through the same kind of thing.
And amazingly still is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the big takeaway from all of this, I think from the book of Job is the idea of we need to focus on who, not why. So, we can ask the question how God is using it, but in the end, and I think Amanda, you said it so, you know, beautifully earlier, you know, to really, you know, focus on who God is, not the why question. So it's still a three-letter question, starting with W, but it's not why.
Right.
It's who.
Yeah.
And when we ask the who question, who is God and who does he want to be? And how, it focuses on his presence, his comfort, his strength, his grace in the middle of those things. And I think in the end, in the beginning and in the end, that's ultimately what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you even said too. You said, who is God in the middle of it? So whatever situation or who is he? And I think you said in the middle of the storm, who is God in the middle of the storm? Like, especially for Job, right? Who, I don't know. Sorry. Like,
no, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Just thinking about, I appreciate that because it does help you redirect maybe your thoughts and your focus and change, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm impressed because you got three young kids, Amanda. They're all under
seven.
Seven and under.
Yes.
And yet you really listened well to the message.
Oh, when you can drop off your littlest one at the nursery, your life changes.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. Yeah, that's impressive.
This is my hour. I think it's the only hour a week that I get by myself.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and you spent it with us?
I know.
No,
we're so lucky.
And I also, I knowing that it was 3 weeks about Job, I was, I was obviously paying attention and not any more so than I usually do.
No, but, I get it. Your radar was up because you knew.
I think
this
that's
was
probably it, and maybe that's part of those little like you even having this. You know, you plan out kind of your what your topics are going to be. It's not like you just decided, hey, this happened to them a month ago. I'm going to talk about Job now, right? So, like the fact that was, those are even the little things that. Those are like the little things that God kind of lines up too, you know? Yeah. So kind of using that storm of whatever and like, hey, here, Ryan and Amanda, here's some three really, you know, from a wonderful pastor, very knowledgeable that you dove into Job and we were able to take that as comfort, not like, listening to the perspectives and kind of actually did change my little bit of my perspective of Job too, and kind of like looking at it. And I was looking at how much he was frustrated, and that really spoke to me too. I don't think I really realized that before. Like, initially his frustrations. Because I think as Christians, we're always told like we can't be frustrated in anything, right? Mm-hmm, it's like not okay to be frustrated. When you look at that, he's frustrated and he's, you know, looking for answers, but sitting in that, and then God's able to come in and, yeah.
It's like, you know, God describes him as the, is basically the best of the best. He's like, look around the earth. This guy's killing it spiritually better than anybody else. And he, even him, he was frustrated with God. Mm-hmm. So we got to cut ourselves some slack. That's just part of part of the life of faith. Is there's going to be times when we just don't get it, and it's going to be frustrating and confusing and agonizing. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of the journey. And if we realize that, we won't be blindsided when it happens.
Right.
And if we resist the temptation to say why, but who is God and, and how can he use this? I think we'll be better served that way too.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, hopefully that's helpful for our listeners. We have been getting some listener questions along the way. So I have one for us today. We've been saving this till the end. So, you know, this is people are commenting. There was a young mom who commented just last week. We talked about the teeter-totter principle, and she said that's real with young kids. We had a listener who we talked about last week how tea, as well as hopefully this podcast, makes you wiser, braver, and more optimistic. And she said, yeah, it's happening. So that's good. But here's the question that I wanted to focus in on. Someone said that when he was early days of the computer coming on the scene, he was starting to work with a computer, and he had a supervisor that told him that that was a waste of time. Why is he, you know, the computer is not worth his time or energy. Stop, you know, learning to use this new technology. And then, of course, that ended up being his focus for most of his career. And he didn't listen to that advice. And he told me that the supervisor got let go shortly after that, but he was gainfully employed, he said, for decades after that encounter happened. And here's this question: what is the worst advice you have ever gotten?
Oh no.
And we don't want to throw anybody under the bus here. So I don't even know. I have no answer for this.
Oh my gosh,
the
worst advice. I mean, what can you say without like throwing anybody under the bus and really
the worst advice.
I'm trying to think what it would be for me, and I'm not sure what it would be, you know.
The only thing that I can remember, and my friends and I, that I played basketball with, I had a coach one time that was trying to find like a position for me on the team, and I just like wasn't really gelling really well with the team, and so one of the coaches was like, well, he's like, just keep shooting. And I jokingly say that to you, my friends, and I keep jokingly say that to each other when it's like we're not having a good day.
Yeah,
keep shooting. Like, I'm just like, because I was like, that's the word. I was like, I need somebody to help me like with my shot, or maybe I'm not getting to the right spots. And the coach was like, just keep shooting.
Yeah,
you're doing it wrong. Keep doing it wrong. Yeah,
just keep going. And I'm just
keep
like
trying.
Keep trying. I'm like, that's not.
You'll get it. You'll get it. Yeah, you're doing it wrong, but you'll get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it didn't help. It did not help at all.
It did not help.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know for me either. I really wish I had a good story. I mean, I feel like the worst advice is some self-advice.
That's true.
That I gave myself. I've told the story over the years about how when I was a pretty new believer driving a Volkswagen bus, so this kind of comes full circle from the story we told at the beginning, but I was driving a different bus way back then, and I was brand new, taking my friends to Christian concerts, totally excited about it. And we ran out of gas on the way home from the Christian concert. And so I thought, well, Jesus changed water into wine. He can change water into gasoline. And so I was going to go fill up the gas tank with water and put it in my tank. Oh. So that was self-advice. You know, just put water in. Jesus will turn it into gasoline.
Yeah.
And I literally went across the street to a closed gas station, put the hose in the tank, and was on my way back. Some guy saw me with the you know, the bus pulled over, and he pulled over and said, "Hey, you out of gas? You want me to go get a gallon? You know, go fill up your." And he did. So that God,
there we go.
God spared
that was nice.
Me.
Yes,
so that was just that was bad self advice. So
right,
that was
right.
Probably pretty bad, but. Yeah, I don't know. What
I can
would
think
be.
Of like our kids giving each other bad advice.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, man.
I feel like I can think of a lot of situations, or because I feel like I hear your voice saying, "Oh, let's not do that." You know, I feel like,
that's
are you sure?
Not yeah. a good idea.
Are you sure about that? You know, yeah. We have natural consequences. Natural consequence. We say
yeah,
that a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I feel like I can hear them. Maybe not anything specific, but I can hear one of them saying, "Yeah, why don't you just put this over there? It'll work." Or, you know, I don't
know. Yeah, doing something. Yeah.
Or our son is making a robot right now out of boxes.
Yes.
And he asked you for batteries the other day.
Yeah, he goes, "Oh, Daddy, do you have batteries?" And I go, "Yeah, they're right there." I go, "What do you need batteries for?" You know, because sometimes he can change little things and stuff. And so he's like, "Oh, I'm going to put it in the robot."
Because I want it out of cardboard boxes.
He goes, "I want it to move." And I go, that's not how batteries work. I go, "You're going to need you have to figure out do you have a motor? Does it have, how's it going to be?" And he goes, "Would you know how to build a motor?" And I go, "No, I don't." And he goes, "Can you look it up on YouTube?" I go, "I'm not looking up how to build a motor right now."
There's been a false sense of confidence with some of his math classes that he's building or making, using shapes to build robots.
Right.
And so I think maybe at some point somebody must have said go build your own. And so he was like, "I'm going to build a robot and it's going to," he had all these plans for this robot that was going to move. And he just put batteries in a cardboard box, you know. Bless his little heart.
Yeah.
So I feel like, who told you that? Where did that advice come from? You can build a robot, you know. I feel like those innocent ones,
I'm so innocent.
Yeah.
it's maybe the self advice is the biggest culprit of all. Then the thing we tell ourselves, "Oh, this will work.
Oh,
this
will work. Yeah, it'll work."
You say that all the time. Yeah. It'll work.
Well, I believe in it. You know,
just keep shooting.
Just keep shooting. Keep shooting, baby. It'll work.
Well, I hope this was helpful. If it has been for you to listen along, thank you for joining us. Would you give us a like, or even better still, we'd love to have your comments or questions that you might have that we can address in further podcasts. So you can leave us a comment at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment there and we will do our best to address them. And we even if it's just to know that it's been helpful, we would really appreciate hearing from you, and leave us a comment. That would be great. If you want to go into depth in the message that this was attached to, Amanda, referenced it several times, so we should tell them where to find it. It was given on May 25th, 2025. The name of the message is "Focus on the Who, Not the Why." So if you'd like to listen to it or listen to it again, you can find that at greenvalleychurch.com or the Green Valley Church YouTube page. So Ryan, thanks for being here. Amanda, this is a big success. Now we're gonna, I don't know this what this is gonna lead to, but
who knows?
Pretty soon we'll have like seven of us sitting there,
shoulder
to shoulder.
Yeah,
we'll keep adding more. But it was really a great to have you along.
Yeah,
your
thank
contributions
you.
Were
yeah.
really,
thank you for having
really valuable.
A lot of edits, yeah. After
we don't do any edits.
Please go for it.
The dirty little secret. There's no edits. What you see is
thank
what
you
get.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. All our mistakes are right there.
Yep. They're forever on the internet.
Yeah. So until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking soon.